What's happening, everybody, and welcome to this another edition of the Dell and Keith Show. I'm Derek Kernahan, and as always, I'm joined by my very good friend Keith Anderson. Keith, how are you doing tonight, mate? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's a bit of a change talking to each other on a Friday night, but it's usually a Sunday or a Monday we talk to each other. We're usually a bit doing the gloom, about a whole week ahead of the work and stuff like that, but we've got the weekend ahead of us. The Bears are playing tomorrow, so it's all good, mate. All good.
Aye, Friday, one of your favourite days of the week, innit? It's got to be, aye. So happy days.
Friday, just about back of five, is usually the best point of the day when you realise you're turning off your computer for a couple of days. That's a good bit, mate. You don't have to worry about work.
That's it, man. Aye. The furthest away time, innit? So happy days.
Exactly, mate, exactly. So, aye, so just sort of, obviously, last on Monday night, we discussed the you know, we're looking ahead to the squad, you know, the squad overhaul and what needs to be done, but what we think needs to be done. And we got the goalkeepers, the defenders and the midfielders out the way. So tonight we're going to be looking at the wingers and the forwards, and then just looking at how we see Michael Beale, if there's anybody, any sort of targets, what they need, maybe not specific players or anything like that, but what sort of players do we need coming in. Into the squad, and you know, some positions that we need to fill as well, and then maybe looking at some, you know, like formations or anything, and going ahead as well, what you might see, any changes and stuff like that. So, will we crack on, mate?
Aye, let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah. So the wingers that we were sort of, what I can see is there's pretty much, obviously, we spoke about guys last time like Tillman and Cantwell and Hattie and Lowry, who can sort of play that sort of, and Lawrence, who can play that. Attack the midfield role, but we've played them in the midfielders. So the purely wingers that we've got is, I could see there was four of them, which was Scott Wright, Ryan Kent, Flash and Sakala, and Robbie Matondo. So we'll just go through them one at a time, mate, then. Let's start at the top with Scott Wright, then. What you thinking about him for next season? Do you think he should still be there? Do you think he's got a place in the squad? Or do you think it's time for him to get to? So
it's so nice. I don't think he's good enough, and I think he's a good example of the type of player we need to be upgrading, I think, or just actually going, you know what, squad too big, we shouldn't be carrying guys like that you can never really count on, so what's the point? Yeah. You're as well with me in the squad, do you know what I mean? Because you're going to be like, well, if I need to use him, we're obviously in real trouble, well, don't bother.
Yeah, I've noticed that he's sort of been dipping in and out the starting sort of the bench now. He hasn't started for a while, but he does dip in and out the bench, and then you usually see him coming on at the last couple of minutes. But I think Beale, obviously, I think we're all aware. I mean, he tries his heart out, but you know, he's just not there in terms of what we need. You know, we need somebody who's going to come in and contribute. And Scott Wright, I mean, he scored the goal in the Scottish Cup final and stuff like that. You can't take that away from him. But you know, we need someone. We need better players, and no disrespect to him, but he's just not the level.
Definitely not. I mean, it's scary to think this guy represented Rangers in a European Cup, a European final. But he's not of the level. You know, like we can have all the guys in the world that are going to try their heart out. There's 50,000 of them in the stadium every second week. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it doesn't mean they deserve to be on there. He's maybe a bit of an upgrade quality-wise, but it's Jason Holt, isn't it? You know, he might be out there knocking his pan in, and fair play to the guy. And nothing against the kid at all. He's just not at the level that we need. It's as simple as that. And that's, you know, like, handshake, thanks for your efforts. He's probably been on decent enough money compared to what he would be on anywhere else. It's worked, you know, it's no work for him. It's no work for us. But no hard feelings and all the best, son.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. And I agree with when we say that, you know, Scott Wright, we would like to see him getting out the door come the start of next season then.
For me, 100%, you know, time to go.
Yeah. And then the next one I want to talk about is probably someone that I think is the same as Robbie Matondo. And then we'll leave the other two to the end. Ravi Matondo just hasn't worked for him, you know, in terms of being here. He doesn't look, times that I've seen him on the park, I mean, he is like obviously we haven't seen him that much because there's been a lot of injuries and he hasn't played. But when you first see him, he looks absolutely rapid. But there's nothing else there other than, in my opinion, other than he can run.
He's a sprinter.
Yeah. The fact that he's got all these moves and we're paid this amount of money to be paid. 3.5 million for him, and then the rumours that he's, the wages that he's on is 20 grand plus, you know, high end of 20, as well. It's just mind boggling, and this has to go down to seriously as a Ross Wilson failure. So in terms of, for me, it would be a case of get him out as quick as we can, whether that's on loan to someone for a year and, you know, try and get the deal after that. But we need to get him at the door and get his wages away, I think, personally. I'm not a fan, from what I've seen of him. What about you, mate?
I kind of disagree with any of that. We've not seen enough from him when we have seen him. I suppose the only devil's advocate is there a chance you think that we go, we being the club, go, right, well, you know, injury hit season, a weird season all round, especially for injuries, you know, maybe he just needed time to settle. Let's see how he does, because we've invested in this kid and we believe in him long term. You know, because he's still young, which you would say is in his favour. Do you think that we, you know, we maybe play that card of, right, let's just chalk this up as a weird year. Kind of like what we're going to do with Ridvan, for example, where, all right, we've seen more of him, and when he's played, we've probably seen flashes of usefulness. Sort of hang of, right, well, it was actually a bit of a write-off for a year.
I mean, I could see it happening. Would I want it to happen? No, personally.
Aye, no, I agree. Aye.
I think that, you know, you maybe could see him because, you know, we might be, the options might be that Bill might go, right, we'll give him a chance. And we'll see what happens, or the other chance is nobody else will take him, other than, you know, so we need to, you know,
well, that's it.
Need to sit there and grin about it, or else I. So it may be a case of that, but I just don't think he's got it. You know, I seen him at City when he was a young boy, and then he went to Schalke.
Uh-huh.
And Schalke, he moved about on loan. I think he was in Belgium last year.
Aye.
On loan, but I personally just don't see it. I think it's time for. If I had a magic wand and I could, I'd be getting him out the door and going for there.
The only other, I still don't disagree. I think, you know, let's, if we can, for the reasons you mentioned, if we can get him off the wage bill and get some of the money back, then, you know, take that as a miracle and move on. The only other devil's advocate point, and this is something we'll come on to talk about with the next two guys, is, did we go and get a left winger and then look and go, the only position and only there's only two positions in the park that are nailed down, and that's right back and left wing. What are we going to do with this boy? Let's try him on the right and see how it goes.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, like I said, we need to try and make use of him, don't we? Because you know, the squad that we're running, the money that he's on, you know, we need to try and get the best of him. And I think if anybody's going to do it, you know, Mick Beale's highly up there as a guy who can. So it's a case of maybe if we don't play him in the, you know, if the guys we're going to talk about now, Kent, if he does stay, then he'll be on the left wing more than doubtless. So we need someone in for that right wing position. He could potentially fill, because let's not face it, like, he is rapid, like I said, he is ridiculously fast, but there's just no end product. And then, you know, any time I've seen him, I've not been impressed at all. So that's why, in my estimation, I would get rid of him. But like I said, if we don't, then we need to keep him, and we've got a player there, and, you know, we need to try and get the best out of it.
Aye, I think the other thing I would add to, when any time I've seen him, I feel like he's very lightweight, you know, yeah. Like you say, he might be able to knock a ball past a guy and run faster than him, but he can't necessarily run around him or whatever, you know. People just get their body in the road, and he looks like a wee boy. He just bounces off folk and all that, do you know what I mean? It's just, Scottish football is full of physicality. Even we guys up here are sturdy and strong, and you know, like everybody's got a physicality to them, and he just looks like he's got none of that at all. And you know, I'm not saying you need to be like Neymar's built like a jockey's whip. Do you know what I mean? But you know, that doesn't work in Scotland. You know that, like, just tiny, scrawny wee boy. Now Neymar's got a good core strength, and I'm not saying he wouldn't be sort of success in Scotland. But you know what I mean? Like, there's maybe a place where Matondo gets away with it, but he's not good enough at a level, you know, where you really need to be. If you're going to be that small and that weak, you need to be elite in other things, and he's just not. And Scotland's not the place for him to thrive, I don't think.
I agree with you there, because like I said, Scotland's an unforgiving place in terms of the football pitch. So I think, you know, if these guys can, you know, stand up to you and dominate you for the start, they will do. Which just seems like what's happened here anyway with them. So I think the two of us are in agreement that if we would like it, if we had a magic wand, obviously we'd probably like it, Rangers, to get rid of them. But if he stays, then we need to try and get the best out of him for the money and everything that he's on.
Yep, agreed. I think that is the thing. Either way, and we'll probably maybe touch on this a bit at the end, but either way, we need a smaller squad with no as many people just sitting in the stand watching, taking a wage. So anybody that we say we would keep, we need to be contributing. All right, if you're injured, that's a different story. But, you know, we need people to be contributing, because it's not going to be a big squad. You want to get it down to a kind of decent level. And at the point where it's you know, before you're taking another one in, it's one out sort of thing.
Definitely having that compact squad in there is the way ahead. You know, make sure it's not that big, like you said. We've got all this talent sitting in the stands there, like boxing. So we agree that Ravi Matondo just hasn't worked, but time for him to go. Next one, Fashion Sakala, who is. Everybody loves him, you know, in terms of, you know, his go lucky, happy nature and stuff like that. And I think he's arguably had his best, you know, his best since Beals came in. He's definitely had his best time with us. He's contributing, scoring goals, setting up goals, playing some good football. But then 1 minute you get him, he's like, you know, he's because, you know, so it's like when he doesn't have time to think on the ball. He's brilliant, but when he has time to think on it, he has a brain fart and, you know, does something wrong. But he seems to be, for me anyway, he seems to be improving with every game under Beal, I think. He's not getting caught offside as much over the last couple of weeks as well, which has been something that's been a bugbear in my mind, fashion, as well, and he's contributing. So in terms of me, I'd definitely keep him about. I think he's, you know, he's fast. You know, he seems to always have a bit of an upper hand. Like, he seems to do well against Celtic as well. But yeah, for me, I would like to keep, other than that horrendous miss in the final. But I'd like to keep him about. What about you, with Fashion Sakala, Keith?
He's an interesting character, like you say, very lovable guy. I don't think you can get enough of that around the place, you know. To a point. You know, like, definitely good to have around. As a football player, he's a total enigma. You know, like, you can watch him take a 75-yard diag, and he just takes a touch like he's Marcello or some one of it. You know, like, he's a Brazilian, and they just perfect touch, and then he falls over his laces or his own shoe or his a bit of grass, or he takes, you know, he'll do that. He'll take it down for like 75 yards and he'll just run to the park. And you're like, that doesn't even make any sense. It goes for being, you know, that touch is straight out a Brazilian World Cup team. And then it looks like my granny is taking over for there. I don't understand it. And then, like you say, sometimes his finishing is phenomenal. He comes up with his world-class finishes. The next minute, he's taking a shot and it's for a shy at 300 mile an hour. Like, he's just swung a leg at it as hard as he can, and wherever it goes is wherever it goes. So he's a funny guy to watch, you know. You don't know what you're going to get from him. But he has come on to, like, he's probably the antithesis of, you know, like the anti-Ryan Kent, who will come on to next, you know, where he's just, his quality is so inconsistent, but he's effective. Whereas Kane, you know, he's kind of consistent in what he does, but he's not very effective. What would you prefer? I don't know, you know. So Sakala, for me, probably a keep. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's up for grabs, if I'm being honest. Sakala maybe falls into the bracket of he's in decent form, he's under contract, he's maybe one of our more sellable assets that we might need to part with in order to fund some of this rebuild. So for me in that regard, he's a potential, he's potential to leave, but he wouldn't be high in my list. I would be, you know, I'd be happy to keep him and see how he does next season, see if Beal can keep improving him, as you say, and get those numbers and better out of him. I think he could be a very useful player going forward, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me, I don't know if you remember a guy who played for Rangers in the 80s, Ted McMinn. It reminds me of modern-day Ted McMinn, but Ted McMinn was very similar in that, you know, sometimes he would great winger, skinner player, four or five times, doing this unbelievable stuff, then goes to cross it in and trips down his own feet, you know, sort of thing like that, which is...
Aye.
You know, sort of fashion to an extent, the way that he does stuff. But I would definitely keep him about, and I think it might have been a different story if we were talking and Gio was still the manager. I don't think he would be playing nearly as much. However, Bill's got this sort of lease of life out of him, and he's definitely contributing. You can't say he hasn't since Bill's came in.
The only thing I would say about Sakala is he can't be a start 60 games a season like Ryan Kent. If we're in that position, then we're probably not going to be winning the league.
Yeah,
I don't think he's good enough. I think he's a useful in some games, useful off the bench, useful player. And like he's the Scott Wright next year, where you're like, right, he's on the bench and he's getting some appearances, he's getting some goals, and you're not that worried about it. But he can't be like under Beal, he started a lot of games. I don't think we keep that up. I don't think he's good enough for that.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree. I think that's sensible. Then if we go on, we're expecting better players to come in, and then, you know, someone who's consistently, you know, getting his, you know, eights and nines every week, whereas, you know, Sakala can be an eight or a nine man meeting, and the next week he's a five or a six, you know.
So aye, you're subbing them at half time and all that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just depends.
Yeah, so I think I definitely think there's a place for him in the squad next season, yep. Definitely. And obviously he's under contract as well. There's no point in him. He's not leaving anywhere or anything like that, so he'll still be there for a while. And then the last one, save the most controversial one. Well, maybe not controversial, but the one that, you know, voices opinion more than anything to the last, which is Ryan Kent. I'll let you start first, Keith, then what you're thinking about Kent. Would you keep him, or is it time for him to go?
I'm really conflicted on Ryan Kent, if I'm honest. I think the money we spent on him, I'm loathed to just let our second most expensive signing ever leave for free. That really grates me. That rips my knitting. I think if you're signing him, how much is he going to want? What sort of wages are we going to be on? Are we talking about because I'd imagine if he signs a new deal, he'll probably want a pay rise. So what does that look like? My gut feel is I'm in the, I don't know, somewhere around about 70-80% get rid. I'm largely done with Ryan Kent. I think he's been a good servant, nothing against the kid at all. I think he's frustrated me for years. He does have quality, but he doesn't show it often enough. So what's the point? His numbers are certainly, you know, abysmal is maybe a bit harsh, but you know, his numbers are pretty poor for what we spend on him, you know, like, and rightly or wrongly, he's going to be graded. If he's our main man, there's probably three wingers on the Celtic side that contribute way more. That's not good enough. That isn't good enough for me. I don't think that's anywhere near good enough. And I don't think Ryan Kent has been near good enough for a decent amount of time, if I'm being honest. And I think he's symptomatic of where we are and exactly what their squad needs in general, and that is an overhaul. It's a gutting of sentiment. It's a, okay, yeah, you won us 55 and you know, like all that stuff, but we just need to get freshened up, and all the best, son. But we need, I the more I'm talking, the more I'm sure I would let Ryan Kent go.
Interesting. You make some good points, but I disagree in terms of letting him go. I would keep him. I think under the Gio, with the way that Gio had him, and particularly the way he was playing under Gio, towards particularly the Liverpool at home game, I never wanted to see him playing for Rangers again. And I think I said that on the pod that they done. I thought he had a shocker that day, and he just didn't look interested. However, since Beale came in, Beale knows him very well and knows what he's like, and I think he has got a bit more of a tune out in playing him in that certain, you know, maybe not out in the, told him, you hug that line and that's you, whereas mm-hmm. now he's got a bit more freedom to come and go, and I think they have seen some improvements in the game. He has looked a bit more dangerous. There is some things that need to change, like he's, first of all, he's shooting shots, goals, accuracy and crossing, but he has contributed to some goals. He's got a couple of assists against Killy in the away game, scored a goal against Celtic as well, but I think in terms of what he brings to the team and, you know, just sort of how dangerous he actually can be, I would keep him there. No sentiment, that's sort of one thing that you mentioned, and that's sort of maybe one thing that I'm maybe thinking about, you know, is he, you know, he's too good to let go for nothing. That's what I'm thinking. And there as well, and like you said, you know, letting go someone that we spent $7 million on, we'll let him go for nothing, is an absolute travesty as far as I'm concerned as well. So that may be a wee bit that's leaning towards my decision to keep him as well, get a new contract, and then his value goes up again, and then, you know, maybe next year we sell him for a couple of mil, you know, in there as well. So that may be just the way that I'm thinking towards it.
No, I think the money side is a double-edged sword, right? So you can say, well, you know, you can, if you re-sign him, it's like you've got him for free. You're not going to go and sign a player of Ryan Kent's quality for free in the summer, right? So I get that, but at the same point, is he worth 35, 30, 40, whatever sort of money he's going to be wanting, say 30 grand a week? Does he give us that consistently enough? Now, you mentioned Killy. He does have games where he'll go and he'll be an 8 or a 9 and he'll get a goal and an assist, or he'll get 2 or 3 assists or whatever. But then he goes weeks with we're getting nothing. So I don't know. I just don't. And you get some, you know, Rangers fans are like, oh, well, you just don't see the hard work he does off the ball. Like, do you think I'm an idiot? I can see the boy tracks back. I can see, you know, he presses, he works hard. Like, that's not enough. Daniel Candeas used to do that and get better, more assists and more goals. Do you know, like, what are we talking about here? He runs about. We just said that's not enough out of Scott Wright. So Ryan Kent running about isn't he any better or worse than Scott Wright or Jason Holt running about? Like, I don't buy it. And I think they put 3 men on him. No, they don't. Ryan Kent is so slow to engage. The first touch he always takes is backwards. So by the time he does take the man on, there's 2 or 3 guys there. It's not that they put 2 or 3 on him all the time. It's that he's so too slow to engage. I'm done with Ryan Kent. I think time to freshen it up. And he's a poster boy of everything that Gerrard and everything we've been, which, if we're being honest, was great in the transition and improved us, but not good enough for where Rangers need to be. Not good enough to challenge for every trophy and really be up there. We've not been. It's as simple as that. And we need to gut out a lot of that and replace. And we'll talk about some of the intangibles in a minute. But I think for me, Ryan Kent's a poster boy of that, and I'm fine to see him go.
I love how you've turned for a maybe there with the space of, you know, a couple of minutes. You're like, no, get the fuck.
Well, that's why these conversations are, isn't it? Because when you discuss, it's actually you thinking out loud. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you do process as you chat. And then listening to some of your points, and then I'm like, oh, you're right, you know, you're signing them for free, really, and it's seven million quid or whatever, just out the door. But that's a separate discussion. That's Ross Wilson being negligent at his job, and you know, no shifting some of these boys on sooner. That's the point. That's the bit that frustrates me, is we're here talking about, oh, you can't lose all these guys. At the one time, it's criminal we're losing them all at the one time. It should have been done, you know, like slow and steady, you know, that we're nowhere near the model, because Ross Wilson shat the bed repeatedly. But it doesn't change the fact that it still needs done. And if we're painted into the corner with it all needing done at the one time, sell a V, man.
Yeah.
I'm out with a hatchet and just starting chopping.
Yeah. Like I said, I totally understand your reasoning where you're coming from. But for me, I would still keep him there. You know, obviously, like you mentioned, the finances is going to be an interesting situation. What we're going to do with the finances? Are you going to give him the money that he wants? Because it's always the deal wants to keep him. So it just depends what we're going to do.
Aye, how much would you pay for it? I mean, I guessed at numbers, right, and it is just a guess. I've not read anywhere that Ryan Kent's asked for that or anything, so, you know, that's not me. I don't have any inside knowledge or anything like that. I don't know. It could be 12 grand a week. It could be 100 grand a week. I don't know. How much would you pay for him, though? Like, what would you be like? I'd sign him, but if he wanted any more than X, I would say no. What would be your limit?
I would imagine, obviously, I don't know this, but just guessing, you know, Kent would probably be on, what do you think, high 20s, maybe 30, in terms of the earners at the club. If they wanted to, you know, in terms of that, would you give them, you know, 30 grand a week to keep them? You know, that's an interesting question, and it's a question, obviously, Michael Beale's going, yeah, I want them, but, you know, do the finances fit in there as well? That's another thing. But if money was no object, we're not sort of thinking about it that we are. And they aren't. I'd personally give them the 30. You know, if it was 30 for talking to it, I'd give them that to
keep him.
Because I think he does give us something that maybe the geezers gives at the moment. And I don't know. You know, people used to say that that lot were terrified of him. I don't think they are anymore after the last couple.
Oh no.
Last couple of games I've had, so I would like to see him turn that around again and make them scared of him again. I guess that might be just a wee bit of sentimental value again for me, but for me, I think he'd be a different animal next season under Beale. We'd be there for a season, pre-season supporting him and loving him. I could definitely see him being a different animal next season if he stays, but obviously that's ifs and buts, isn't it?
Aye.
So we're on. Trades are different than that one there. So that was quite an interesting one. I quite liked that.
That was quite a good one.
So looking at it, right, we'll discuss that later. So next of all is the strikers. The striking situation. So we've got three first team strikers in there, which is Antonio Čolak, Alfredo Morelos and Cam August. Now let's start with the easy one, I think, first, and the other two are a bit more difficult. So let's start with Antonio Čolak. Keith, do you expect to see Čolak here next season?
I think yeah. Out of three, you're right. Čolak's the easiest one. We keep big Tony goals. I think he's here next year. Yeah. And if I was Beale, he would be here next year.
Yeah, I would keep it up. But can I ask you a question? If he's here next season, do you see him as your starting number nine, or do you see him as coming off the bench or playing a couple of, being a steady replacement in there? But would you want another number nine in there to challenge him to be a bit more, not dynamic, because I think he is very dynamic, but maybe someone who's a bit better outside the box or talking sense or something like that? Do you see him, Rangers are going to play, we're going to throw, get the ball in the box, and he's in there to score.
I think we need to get him in some help. It depends, right? You know, there's all the talk about, are we going to be doing two up front? Are we going to a back three? You know, Beale's dropped a few hints about, well, we're working on a different shape. And so we don't really know what is the plan for next year. So to answer your question, is he the starting striker? If we're going one up top, then you know, I think we need somebody probably that's different, and we play them in different games when we need something a wee bit different. So on his own, nah, I don't think we win the league with Antonio Colak up top for 60 games. Unless it's as a two and it's the old Boyd and Miller sort of syndrome, do you know what I mean? Like, then if we're playing two and you've got a different type up there with them all the time, then he probably goes and gets you 30 goals, do you know what I mean? So it just depends on the style, but either way, I think we definitely need to go and sign a striker and get him some support up there. I don't think by himself in the old Alfie role, for example, you know, like I don't think he's that type of striker, and I don't think that's going to win us a league.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think keep him next season, but yeah, keeping him next season, if we're playing one up top, then he's the guy who's basically not our first choice. You know, he's coming off the bench or playing some important games in the season and stuff like that, but it doesn't offer anything outside the box like Alfie did. I mean, against Hibs, he had a great game, but some of the play that he'd done. But yeah, I would say that outside the box, he's probably, you know, I haven't been that impressed with him other than the Hibs game this season. But he does score goals, there's no denying it. You know, he does know where the back of the net is. So yeah, in terms of that, I would like to I'd definitely keep him. We've also got a couple of years left on his contract as well, so yeah, I would keep him definitely.
Aye, I think his all round play, including the outside the box stuff, I think he gets a bit harshly judged, if I'm honest. He's the all round striker, you know. I'm not saying he's Robert Lewandowski Mark II or anything like that. I feel he is a bit better than he gets credit for. Maybe just because he lacks that physical presence to occupy a full defence that Alfie's done for so long. But Matthew would be, you know, like, oh, go and sign another Alfie. I think we need to change how we play, because setting a team up to play to Alfie, I go back to it. That's what we've done for 4 or 5 years and we've no won enough. So it's no working. So we need to change it up anyway. So I'll maybe tip my hand to what's coming. But I'm not so worried about that fact either. I think we need to find a different way of doing it, because it's not been successful enough. So, you know, let's mix it up.
Yeah, definitely. And so let's go on to the next one then, Keith, is Kamar Roos. For me, I think he stays next season, because first of all, I don't think anybody will take him based on his injury record. I think arguably when he's fit, he is probably the best striker at the club in terms of what he brings to the team, in terms of off the ball, you know, in the box, he's shooting. I think in all round he's probably the best striker that we have on the squad. But he's just if he was fit, you know, if he didn't have that stuff, I doubt he would be playing in Scottish football, to be honest with you, because he was playing for Leeds at the time, and you know, a couple of years ago and doing very well for them. So imagine if he was still fit, he'd have been playing in England in the Premiership somewhere. I think we keep him because, like I said, I don't think anybody will take him. And also I think he's a Beale guy, because Beale likes him. You know, we signed him under Gerrard when Beale was there. So I think if we can get a tune out of him, I think Beale will keep him and play him. But that's a big if he's fit. If not, he probably goes to the end of the season on a free transfer. But I wouldn't be against him if someone came in and offered us some money but offered to pay his wages. I wouldn't be averse to him going at the end of the season. Sorry. What about you, Keith?
My preference would be to move him on. I love Kamar Roos. I think him and Tony Colak, both fully fit, actually would be a combo I would really like to see. I think that could be very effective. You know, Tony doing what he does and Roof's movement, ordering about him, playing off him, like I think that could be tremendous. It's the same as Phil Hollander. Like, fully fit, Hollander and Roof, for me, both of them would never be at the team. But we just kind of rely on it. If we can, I think the what you mentioned there, see if we can get somebody to take him on loan for a year, pay his wages, and then he's a free agent in the summer, and they can have him for free, or he goes and does his own thing. That, to me, is probably the best we can hope for, and would do us up a treat. Like you say, you get the wages off the bill, or at least the bulk of them. See if you get him in a championship or something like that, they'll be able to pay his wages, nae bother. And there's no commitment, right, because it's a year, it's a loan for a year. You're not committed to signing him for a 3 or 4 year deal. And if he does get fit and has a world day for them, then, you know, all the best to the guy, a lot of time for him. But we kind of rely on him. And again, we need to thin the squad. And if you've got a thinner squad, then everybody needs to be contributing, or see you later. So for me, with a heavy heart, see you later, Kamal Roof.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't be averse to him going. I just don't think that anybody will take him based on his injury record.
Aye.
I think that's the only thing that goes against him. And also think as well, if he had this year fit, pretty see him playing. I mean, obviously, you know, he'd be playing and he'd be on the team. You know, and there is, I think he's played something like 3 or 4 games this season and scored 2 very important goals. Excuse me. You know, in the game against Aberdeen where he scores and then gets taken off straight away, and then he scored against Livingston, and then we've not seen him since, and he's out for the rest of the season. So, you know, he went and got his hip operation, which hopefully will cure all his, you know, sort of cure his injuries, because I think that's one of the main line problems with his hip that ended up causing all the other damage that, you know, round about his body and his legs. So hopefully that'll get rid of it. But I just don't, for me, I don't see anybody taking him, and we can't afford to release him. So I think he's here next season. But if we could get rid of him, I wouldn't be averse to. You know, again, I think he goes with our best wishes. He had a fantastic season the year that we won the league.
Aye.
But he goes with our best wishes.
Yeah.
And there, if he does. Now the last one, the controversial one, I think that everybody, Mr. Controversial himself, Alfredo Morelos. I'll let you start with this one, Keith. What do you think of Alfie? Would you keep him, or is it time for him to go?
Time for him to go. Easy. One of the easiest ones for me. Again, lots of love for Alfredo's career at Rangers. No ill will. Wherever he goes, if he's already signed a pre-contract, no issues at all with any of that. All the best to the guy. Hope he gets 50 grand a week and can keep doing his charity work in Colombia and whatever's important to him, but no interest in offering him in a new deal on any kind of significant wages at Rangers. If we offer him 40 grand a week or whatever he's going to want, because it will be those sort of numbers, that, you know, it would be really right up against it for us. He's Mesut Ozil at Arsenal. I have no interest in offering the guy another contract. I think, see if he can try and win the Scottish Cup, goes out in some sort of high. He deserves to go out in good terms. I think it's time for him to go. Easy decision.
I think it's time for him to go. If he did sign a new deal, I wouldn't be sticking my toes in the parameter like that, but I do feel like it is time for him to go. But obviously, if he does sign a new contract, like you mentioned, the money that he would want for him, it's just not applicable for us to do that. You know,
you'd be offering him a pay cut, which he wouldn't take. Do you know what I mean? If he's on 30, 35, I wouldn't be anywhere near that sort of money for him. He's too unreliable.
Yeah, I'm similar as well. I wouldn't pay him in that sort of money. As well, it's just interesting when we're talking about Alfredo, is the, you know, I feel like Beal sort of contradicting himself with his press conference when he's talking to the press. It seems like at times he barely sort of just opens up his mouth and just goes and goes, because last week he was saying to do more, you know, the other two, I want to keep Jack and I want to keep Kent. But Alfredo's been here for a number of years, pretty much been about the same time as Jack. So he was saying that, you know, he's been here for a number of years, different situation. If he wants to stay, he needs to try a bit harder. Keep going, but then, in, you know, his press conference a couple of days ago, I think it was yesterday actually, says he's never had any bother with Alfredo. You know, he's a great trainer, he's doing well in it as well. So it's a bit contradiction what he's putting out there for everybody to see. And plus, I've seen pictures of Alfredo on social media. He was in the gym himself last night, I think it was, doing his own personal training as well. So it's obviously it's an interesting one, Alfredo, because he has been a fantastic buy for us, you know, £1 million, and he has been great. But yeah, I think like it may be time for him to pastures now, definitely for him to go and try something else. And you know, if he does leave, like I say, he goes with everybody's best wishes. It'd be lovely for him to go with a trophy, you know, a Scottish Cup again. Obviously he didn't play the last one because he was injured, so it'd be nice for him to go, you know, with this one. So we'll see what happens. But I do think his time is up in terms of being a Rangers player.
Aye. And I mean on the Beale stuff, it's funny, you know, we had Gerrard and Gio, and both of them were very, very comfortable media trained wise, you know, Gerrard didn't seem that comfortable, but you know what I mean, like comfortable in how to deal with the media, whether they enjoyed it or not, you could debate, but they knew what they were doing, and it was geener in a way. Press conferences were boring as anything. You could predict every question and every answer. It was just stock replies, do you know what I mean? And people, especially with Gio, were like, oh, he doesn't say enough, his press conferences are pointless. And then you get Beale, who obviously doesn't have that and talks too much, probably, you would say. And like you say, you know, he says one thing one week and then another thing the next week. I think what you do, how you judge football managers, it's not really on what they say ever. Because, you know, Gio or Gerrard or Beale could come out and be like, I've never met anybody I love more in my life. And then, like, Beale has, you know, has complimented him a couple of times lately and criticised him. He's not picking him, but that's what you judge. Who do you pick? Well, who you pick is who you trust. Otherwise, you wouldn't pick them. So that's how you judge a football manager. And he's not picked him for the last three games. He's put Tony Colak in at the cold-ish, starting three games. And then he got, you know, Beale even said himself, he was a bit tired against Rafe. And he looked tired because, you know, he'd been injured and he's played three games in a week. So that tells you where he's at with Alfredo.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely does, aye. And let's say that if it does go, it definitely goes with our best wishes. But aye. So we've agreed in some keys, we've disagreed in a few, but I think mostly we've agreed with most of them. Mm-hmm. In the par, we maybe, except for just looking back here, I think McLaughlin, Jack, and Kent, I think mostly agreed with, other than the three.
I think there was a couple
of them as well. Aye, Hadji and Arfield as well were maybe two question marks in there as well. But aye, other than that, I think we've mostly agreed with. So that was an interesting one. So let's look ahead now. Like you mentioned, you know, what sort of players, maybe not, you know, players in Pacific because we don't have a magic ball, but you know, players that you would like to see come in, you know, in terms of replacing, you know, obviously goalkeepers, but I think we spoke about this on Monday when we done the pod.
Aye.
We want a number one in as well, and maybe, you know, if McCrory's going to challenge him or if McLaughlin's still there for him to challenge him, but we definitely need a number. I think I know number one, and I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Aye.
In terms of defence, is there anything that you would be looking for? Because I can think of something. I would like another centre half in there who can, maybe like you say, can play out in the right as well, but also someone who's commanding in the air. Golson, I think, is commanding in there, but someone who's just a bit no-nonsense. The way that Hollander was almost, you know, someone fitter Hollander, I think I would take.
Aye.
More than anything in there, because I think Davis and Golson have got a great partnership. Davis is more a footballer. Golson's a defender, I would say. And there, is there anything that you would maybe say about the defence that you would like to see coming in, or anything different?
No, I think you've touched on it. You know, a centre half that can cover one of the fullbacks like Bassi used to. Maybe you get away with Davies at left back. Balogun did as well. You know, Balogun played right back in some big games. So, you know, if we could have centre half on either side, because I think we're maybe a wee bit weak at right back. I don't know. Devine maybe needs a chance and we're all right. If we keep both left backs, we're all right. But if Bonner does go, then maybe you just get away with putting a lot of trust in Ridvan and having a centre half that can cover in there if needed. I don't know. Defence probably isn't a top priority, but I think we could be doing with another centre half and somebody that could cover a full back position would be a good shout.
Yeah, definitely. And then midfield, I think it's a big can of worms. And obviously, we've got Raskin in there who's pretty much nailed on the defensive sort of, you know, the box-to-box role, almost, as you could say. And then I would like to see maybe someone a wee bit more defensive-minded coming in who can sit back while he goes a wee bit forward. We can move him up a wee bit in there. You know, almost like a younger, fitter Ryan Jack. In there, and I think if we sign Tillman, you've got Tillman Cantwell in there as well, running amok, and you know, I think that would be great. What about you? Do you see, what would you look for in the midfield?
I think we need another midfielder. You know, even if you keep Ryan Jack, we're still going to lose Davis, Arfield, Jack. At least two of those three we're going to lose. We both want to sell Kamara, so you know you're losing a few bodies in there. So we definitely need somebody in, but again, it's getting the right role, because apart from maybe Raskin, you can make a case for, we've had a bunch of tens and a bunch of sixes and not really any eights, you know. So it's like, right, we need a box to box, somebody that does both sides of the game, somebody that tackles but passes forward and can get goals and all that sort of stuff. You know, like we've not had that in a long time, really. Maybe Lawrence looked like he was going to maybe do some of that, but then, you know, it was just too short a season. We don't know. That's another one we're going to have in there. You know, like, cliche warning, it'll be like a new signing, you know, sort of shit. Bullshit bingo.
I guess in a situation like that, you could play Raskin. I would like you to play one defensive midfielder. I don't think we need two holding midfielders in the league.
Aye.
You know, we don't need Lundstrom and Kamara sitting there or anything like that. But I would like to see maybe Raskin sitting, holding, dictating the play, you know, almost being like a deep lying playmaker who's a bit of a ball winner as well, so looking at it from Football Manager terms.
Aye, the Davis role, basically.
Yeah, you know, breaking up play, spraying nice passes in there as well, moving forward when he can. Yep. And then maybe having someone like Lawrence who could play an eight in there, or a Cantwell who could play an eight in there, sort of, you know, getting the ball and being a bit more flary and, you know, a bit more cultured, maybe, seeing the ball. Running the defences and stuff like that. You know, that can be an interesting proposition. And strengthening there, particularly if we're looking at guys like Kamara, you know, Davis, potentially Arfield going, you know, those guys are out, you know, Davis and Arfield are out of contract, definitely. Jack's out of contract as well, and then Glenn Kamara just doesn't look interested. So that's four.
That could
potentially leave.
Yeah.
So maybe getting in one up, maybe another midfielder would help. I think for the wingers, obviously, it's pretty clear what we need. We need more of them. We need a few of them in there as well. You know, we don't just need one or two. We need two or three, I think. And they sort of cover that. If, like you said, if Ken leaves, Scott Ray needs to go, Matondo goes, you know, we need to see some more in there. Is there anything? Do you agree with that? Or do you think, you know, just one or two is enough? Or do you think we need three or four? Two or three is probably the better figure.
It depends how many we get ready, because, you know, the way you've outlined it there sounds like maybe what certainly I would vote for, but I would imagine that there'll be quite a push to keep Kent. We might not be able to get rid of Matondo. Who knows if we can even get rid of Scott Wright? So you might find yourself in a position where how many do we actually go and get rid of in the summer? You know, in reality, that would then dictate. You might then just go and get one you know, but ideally you would get rid of more than one, and you would go and replace. Maybe no, maybe again it goes back to the how are we going to play, you know, because you could stick Cantwell in one of those positions in the old kind of Joe Rebo style, or Tillman, or Arfield. That you know Arfield's played right wing. All those guys have played that position at some point. So, you know, I don't know. There are other options. Hadji's done it. So, again, if we keep Hadji, you know, there are options you could put in there, depending on how you want to play style-wise and that. So, but I would think if you get rid of three and get in two, you're probably looking, you know, two, like, go and get stick-on starters, then job's a good one, right? You know, for, that's probably the sweet spot for me.
Yeah, nice. Would depend on that. And then obviously, striker situation. Then obviously, we've only got one striker, potentially two if Roof goes. But again, that's like one and a half strikers, I would say, maybe.
Aye.
And if he's fit. So, in terms of that, who would you?
Two strikers?
Looking at least two, aren't we? And then as well, definitely to try and get in. So, it looks like it's a massive overhaul. We need that. We said that from the start.
Yeah.
So, I feel it's going to be definitely going to be a busy window for Beale, definitely. And there to see what he's got as well. And it's going to be the making of him as well, I think. And there, because if he doesn't do it, it's a sore one.
Aye. And for me, it's not just positions, and I'll get your thoughts on this first. We spoke about the positions, but do you feel there's any intangibles we need? So, like, the type of human beings that we get in, if you will, do you know what I mean? We want a goalie, or we want a forward, and we want somebody that's got a different style than Colak and that. But is there anything else that we need from them as individuals that you think is, you know, maybe lacking in the squad, or that we need to refresh or anything?
We need people who are natural born winners and who can handle the pressure of playing at a club like Rangers, because there's a couple of guys who have come in and the badge has been simply too big for them. So we need winners in there, definitely. You know, guys who can come in. We also need guys who can come in and go, you know, I'm here to win my spot. I'm not happy being on the bench. You know, I'm here to play football and I'm here to win. You know, guys who are willing to adapt to Beale's philosophy and Beale's management as well, and there. But yeah, I would pretty much say, I would say that. What about you? What do you think about it?
I know. I think that's certainly one of the key elements is winners. You know, like we've got. I think we've got a squad of people that are happy being at a big club and competing, and that's not good enough at Rangers. You need to be finding a way to win. And you know, like, how many guys do we have in there that after that cup final are, like, I'm sure they're hurting, but you know what I mean? How many people is it the end of the world for? And I know it's not the end of the world, but it is, and it should be if you're in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, we don't have, you know, like, we don't have the winners we need, I don't think. Too many guys are like, oh, I'm playing for Rangers and it's a cup final, brilliant. No, it's not. It's brilliant at the end if you've won it. Anything less, it's no brilliant. You take your run-up medal and you throw it in the bin. If that's not your attitude, then we don't want you here. So I think you're right. That's the key, is getting more leaders and winners. More winners. Another thing for me is leaders. I think I would like a new captain in the summer. And I'm not saying we sell Tav. I think we both said we keep him. But I think, you know, you go and sign somebody or you find somebody and you're just like, right, we've went and got ourselves a proper leader. Sorry, Tav. New captain.
That's interesting. But in terms of that, do you think that would damage the morale within the squad or damage the morale with him, say, as well, because how valuable he is to the team, you know, would that could cause that, you know, in terms of that. I think Tav's a different captain. Maybe we can talk about this another time, but Tav's a different captain than, say, you know, like a Richard Gough or something like that. You know, he isn't like that. But would you see that affecting the morale of the squad or his morale? Or else would you be bothered? Would you be like, tough, that's it. I'm the gaffer, that's it. That's the rules.
A mixture. I would say there would be an element of tough. But there's also a way of doing it, right? And you do it by speaking to Tav like an adult. And like I've never met Tav, but what you see of him, what he does have that a Rangers captain needs is that class and that, you know, whatever's best for the club. I'm not so sure he would, like, I don't know, but he doesn't come across to me as the type of guy that's going to be a diva about it and be like, oh, well, then, you know, I'm down in tools. Or like, I can't see him being like that. And the caveat is, well, I'm the gaffer, trust me. And if we go and actually win shit, you go, dudes, right? Tav's record in winning tournaments is not good. Tav's record against Celtic is not good. We need to freshen that up. We need to, you know, like that's a cycle we need to break. And I think the best way to do that is with a new captain.
Interesting. That's an interesting one. And it's probably, you know, looking at the timekeeper, it's probably a good place to...
On that bombshell?
Good place to finish it, aye, mate. So that's definitely a good bombshell to finish it. But it's been an interesting conversation, I think, over the two shows. As well, a lot of interesting points in there. You know, that we've raised and about the squad, and it just shows you that there is a, you know, like us and quite a lot of fans see that there's a massive change and a massive overhaul coming ahead. And I think next season's every season's a massive season, but particularly with a new manager in there who has publicly said that, you know, we need to invest in the squad and also keep a few players. It's
going to
be an interesting one, isn't it?
It is, aye. And Beale doesn't need to look too far back to see how much time he's going to get. Gio came in mid-season, running about the same time as Beale. He led us to a European final.
Yep.
And he got 2 months or whatever of the new season, 3 months. And it was a wee bit more than that. But, you know, it didn't feel like very long. And then he was emptied. So, you know, no pressure.
Just about a year ago, didn't he? Gio, so the pressure's on next season. If he, you know, this season's not a free pass by any stretch, because we've still got a cup to go, and you know, we've got to play them a couple of times in there as well. So there's still stuff to play for.
But listen, if Beale goes and does a league and cup double this year by some miracle, then you know he gets more time. But chances are he's playing for the Scottish Cup, which is exactly what Gio won. You don't get a lot of time to get it right.
No, you don't, mate, definitely not. So I think that's that's a good place to call it, mate, in terms of the conversation, and you know, we're coming up to that hour mark anyway, so I think that's a good place to call it. As always, everybody, thank you for listening in. Keith, has always been a pleasure, mate. And we've got the game tomorrow, so looking forward to that. So come on, the Gels, let's keep this league run going and get 3 points in a tricky away game.
I know, definitely, mate. Been good. I've enjoyed the chat, and as you say, let's just keep winning and apply a bit of pressure and see what happens. Win every league game between now and the end of the season, and we'll ask a question. That's all we can do. So let's keep it going.
Exactly. And until then, me and Keith will be back soon and discuss all things Rangers. Until then. Speak to you later, guys. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate. Speak soon.
Cheers, Keith.